That is Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 17. Starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We read thus far in God's word.
I think I've managed to pull out a magic trick. I went to Port Shepstone for a week, and I come back, and I look different, and I sound different. So please do excuse my voice. This morning I was completely fine, and so the Lord has it that I've lost my voice, so I will not be long. I don't want to torture you for too long. It sounds as though I have not yet gone through puberty, or am going through puberty. But this reminds me of Paul, perhaps, when he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if you are to draw anything worthwhile from tonight, it must be because the Lord has done it and not myself. Certainly not the beauty of my voice. But please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, and I'll open for us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us and that we would see the glory of Christ. I pray, Lord, help us not to fix our eyes on ourselves, but rather that we might have a greater understanding, a greater vision of the glory of Christ, that we may see that it is Christ who gives us everything and that we are nothing, but that Christ graciously grants us all these things in love. And so, Lord, we can call ourselves blessed, for you have shown us much mercy. And so, Father, I pray that your word would impact our hearts, that we would glorify Christ, that we would rejoice in what he has done for us, that we would live holy lives according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would love you more. Be with us in this time. May my voice not be a distraction. May I not be a distraction. May your word go forth, and would you be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are you? This may be a question we can ask ourselves. Who are you? If you think that you are what you are physically, well, then that changes, doesn't it? One decade, you're healthy and fit. The next decade, you're past your prime. The next decade, your body begins to ache. The next decade, you're either balding or you have gray hair and your strength has forsaken you. The next decade, you're retired. You have grandchildren. The next decade, you may be dead. If you base it off of your status, well, your status can change, can't it? One day you are favored and loved. The next day, you are scoffed and mocked. Who are you? As Christians, we cannot place our worth. We cannot define ourselves in these worldly things. Rather, we must define and understand ourselves rather by who God describes us as. And so, this evening, quite simply, I want us to see how we have been raised to newness of life in Christ. And that that now defines who you are. And because that is who you are, it must change the way you live. That is the basic premise of my sermon this evening. Paul begins and he says, if then you have been raised with Christ. Well, in chapter 2, verse 20, he says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world. We see that there's death and life being mentioned here. If then you have been raised with Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be raised with Christ? What does it mean that one has been raised with Him? We all know that Jesus rose from the grave. We know that though He died, He did not remain dead. We know that He rose on the third day, conquering sin, Satan, the world. How is it that we have been raised with Him? How is it that we participate with Christ in His victory over death? Well, firstly, we must understand who we once were. Jump with me to verse 9. Halfway through the verse, it says, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. The old self. You might look and you might have a little note next to the word self. It could be translated the old man. In Paul's mind, the old man is Adam. It is him who fell. It is him who broke God's law. It is him who is now depraved, in utter darkness, a slave to sin, a child of wrath, a servant of Satan. That is what mankind is like, is it not, by nature? We are all born in Adam. We are all born dead and lost. We are all born in need of a Savior. That is who we once were. Notice how it says, you have put off. It's a past action. You have put off the old self. It is no longer your current identification. It is no longer your current identity. That's who you were. But then he goes on to say, you have put on the new self. Well, who is the new self? Well, the new self, we know of the new birth. We speak of being born again. We have all been born in Adam, born in sin, born with a depraved nature, born enemies of God. But now, by the new birth, by the Holy Spirit, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a new nature. They're no longer in Adam. They're no longer dead as the rest of the world. They're no longer slaves to sin as the rest of the world. They're no longer following the course of this world as the rest of the world. They are no longer children of wrath as the rest of the world. They are now a new creation, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So what does it mean that we have been raised with Christ? Well, it means that through Christ's death on the cross, that our sinful self has died there with him. Adam has been defeated. Our sin has been put off. Our sin has been defeated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look in chapter 2, verse 14, the record of our debt that stood against us has been nailed to the cross. It is no longer upon us. If you look at verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You know, in the Old Testament, circumcision was of great importance. But we know that many of the Jews were not circumcised in their heart. That is a circumcision that matters. And that is a circumcision of a new heart. It is not something made with hands, but it is made by the Spirit of God. So if you have been raised with Christ, you're no longer the old self. You're not who you once were. You're not dead in sin, a slave to it. You're not lost. You're not awaiting the judgment of God. You're not alienated from God. Rather, you have freedom in Christ to do the will of Christ. You're indwelt with the Spirit of God. You can love God. You know God. You serve God. This is the new self. This is what it means to have been raised with Christ. It is as Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice how extreme Paul gets in verse 3. For you have died. You have died. It is not you who lived anymore. You are something else. You have to think of yourself in new terms. We know Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died. You have died. But not only have you died, it is no longer you who lives, but it is Christ who lives in you, as Paul writes, if we put ourselves in that verse. And so now we have newness of life in Christ. You have died. The old self is dead. Now you have new life in Christ. He says your life is hidden with Christ. And again, notice how it is with Christ, with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. What we can think of hiding something, perhaps something very precious to you. If something is very precious to you, you keep it near to you, close to you, perhaps in your inside pocket and not in your back pocket, which is easily accessible. Your life is hidden with Christ. It is protected by him, and it is found in God. God is the one that gives you life. In fact, the next verse, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Christ, who is your life. Your life, who you are, it is no longer who you once were, but your life is Christ. Who are you? You are now the new self, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Who are you? Who are you, believer? Or you are not who you once were. You are now a new creation. You are now united to Christ. Your destiny is, as it were, attached to the destiny of Christ. That is why he said to his disciples, I go before you to prepare a place for you. For where I am going, there you will also be. And so too, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. Isn't it interesting that in this day and age, perhaps the Christian seems the lowest of all, the most insignificant of all? They have nothing to point to or to say that there's significance, and perhaps the world looks at them and says, who are you? Well, the believer knows that his life is hidden with Christ. The world cannot see that. The world cannot see the significance of that. But when Jesus appears, when he comes, well, then we will see. Then we will appear with him in glory. Again, with him in glory. Then we will know our glorious inheritance, the glory of our life in him. Then we will enjoy eternal life in his presence, intimate communion with him, life in the service of his name. That is what awaits us. So if then you have been raised with Christ, if you have died, if you now have a new nature, well then, what are you to do? Seek the things that are above. If you are not of this world, if you have died to the things of this world, seek the things that are above. And then what does Paul say? It is where Christ is. You're no longer of this world. You no longer belong to this world. You're no longer in Adam, a slave to this world. You are now to seek Christ. If you are a new creature, if you have a new nature, if you have put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator, seek the things that are above. And most of all, seek Christ, who is your life. Who is your Savior? Who is your shepherd? Who is your protector? Who is your sustainer? See, the church in Colossae, what they were tempted to do was to seek worldly remedies to their problems. In chapter 2, verse 20, we see, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive to the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. They were being tempted to add a legalistic twist, man-made, self-made religion, according to Paul. And what this would do is nothing for them. They would not grow. They would not mature. In fact, the legalist fails immensely at actually any holiness. Because the legalist, in his attempt to be holy through his own efforts, well, he falls into the trap of pride. And if he eventually deceives himself into thinking he is holy, well then he forgets that he is a sinner in need of the grace of God. Rather, for those who have been saved by Christ, raised with him, well, we are not to go back to the world, to look to the world's wisdom, to look to our wisdom, but our entire life's effort is to seek Christ, to seek him. Well, what does it look like in verse 5? Well, there's the first thing. What does it look like to seek the things that are above? Well, it is to put to death what is earthly in you. If you are a new creature, you ought to act in a new way. Oh, how often we fall back to our creature comforts. We fall back to those temptations which have long tempted us. How often we continue longing for the things of this world and not for Christ. The wonderful thing is that now in Christ, you're able to put it to death. Why? Because you have already put off the old man. He's already defeated upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what you're to do is, having put him off, is to put him to death. You're not a slave to your sin. You're not a slave to old passions. You're a new creature. You have new motivations. You have new desires. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You're united with Christ, raised to newness of life in him. So do not seek the things of this world. Do not seek what pleases the flesh. Do not seek these things, for you do not have to walk in them. Notice I says, put to death. Put to death. Kill it. Mortify it. So desire to seek Christ that you will absolutely destroy anything in you that prevents you from doing that. Anything in you that is displeasing to him. And so seeing that you have put off the old self and put on the new self, do not continue in this former way that you lived. Do not continue in the same way that you once went. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and onward, he said, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created of the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, for you are no longer of this world. You no longer belong to it. You're no longer bound to those things which once kept you. Or in verse 12, to seek the things that are above, well, what we must do is to put on then Christ. If we are to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, well, then we are to put on then Christ. If Christ is the one that we are seeking, we must put on Christ's likeness, his character, his holiness, his attitude. Put on Christ. Notice how Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. What other words can we use to describe Christ? Was he not the compassionate one? Did he not display kindness to the human race? Did he not humble himself? Did he not humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross? Was he not meek? He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Patience, did he not display patience to his disciples? Though they so often went the wrong way and stumbled over each other and fought and quabbled. So really what Paul is saying is put on Christ. Put on Christ. This word for put on is literally to clothe oneself. Clothe oneself in Christ. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, we see Paul say the same thing. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And so, Christ is the one who is above. And so we are to seek Christ. And so now our endeavor is to put on a Christ-like character. This is what we are being renewed toward, is it not? Is not Jesus Christ the one through whom all things were made? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him all things were created. Well, what does he say in verse 10? And have put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Through the fall, that image and likeness, though it was not eliminated, it was distorted, and it was, as it were, a cracked mirror. No longer did we truly reflect the likeness of God in the way that we, in our lives and character. But now, day by day, as the new self, we are being renewed. We are being transformed. The image of our God is being, as it were, stamped into our lives more clearly as we are being made more like Christ. And so since we've been united to Him, since He is our life, since we will appear with Him in glory, well then we are to be like Him. Be like Him. Don't be like this world, is what Paul is saying. Put that to death. But put on Christ-likeness. Notice how he continues, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. Again, the Lord is the one that we are following, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love. Again, what other words shall we describe Christ as, which binds everything together in perfect harmony? Let the peace of Christ, again, Christ is the subject, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Again, Christ, Christ, Christ. That is the subject of your life. That is the one that you are to follow. That is your identity. You are raised to new life in Christ, and so you pursue Christ, you love Christ, you live for Christ, and you will be with Christ. That is who you are. The very heart of who you are Christ's. So one last word on verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Perhaps we struggle to seek Christ. Perhaps we struggle to set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Perhaps it's you. I certainly struggle. I certainly fail. But Paul's words here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, these words point us to John 15, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples about abiding in him. In John chapter 15, he told them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. And so, I challenge you, are you fruitful? Are you growing? Are you becoming more like Christ? Are you being renewed in the knowledge of the image of your Creator? Well, you must ask yourself, am I abiding in Christ? To abide is to remain or to stay. Are you staying in Christ? Or are you tempted, like the Colossians, to go to worldly principles, to worldly wisdom, to man-made religion, to your own idea of how to grow and be sanctified? No, what you need more of is Christ. What you need more of is to know Him. And so, as he said, sorry, I've just lost my my place. Okay, sorry. In John 15, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So again, if we are abiding in Christ, it means that his words are abiding in us. And if we are abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in us, then we shall be fruitful. Then we shall grow. And so when Paul is writing, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it is pointing us to that passage and it's saying, if we are not, if the word of God is not mastering us and we mastering the word of God, how shall we grow? How shall we put on Christ? How shall we know what Christ is like? It is easy to say that we must put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, that the peace of Christ should rule in our hearts. It's easy to say these things. But do we give ourselves to the Word of God? Do we allow it to dwell in us? Do we seek that it might master us, that it would abide in us, that we then might be fruitful as we abide in Christ? We mustn't get too mystical. To abide in Christ is to abide in His Word. And if we abide in His Word, we will grow in holiness. And so that is a challenge for us. Oh, do we let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us? Do we love the gathering of the saints where we teach and admonish one another? Do we love it? How are our scripture reading patterns? For without these things, it will be difficult to seek the things that are above where Christ is. And so this evening, who are you? Well, you are now raised with Christ. You first died with Him to your old self, died with Him to your old former sins, died with Him to your former depravity and sin, died in Him to the kingdom of darkness. Now you've been raised with Him to newness of life, to communion with God, to the indwelling of the Spirit. That is who you are. That is who you are, and that cannot change. And the more we grasp that reality, then the more we shall grow. The more we understand what Christ has already done for us, not what we must do, oh, then how much easier it will be to do what Christ would have us to do. Once we understand that Christ has provided everything, that all is met in Christ, every need. That is why Paul said in verse 11, Christ is all and in all. He is absolutely sufficient for all things, for all people, for all time. Why, if we have all these things in Christ, well, then we can live the life He has called us to. So may the Lord enable us to know who we are in Christ, that then we may live as though we were Christ's, as though we were transformed, as though we are currently being renewed in the knowledge after the image of our Creator. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we realize our weakness. Father, we acknowledge that at times we do not know and do not understand and do not grasp the depths of your gospel. We do not understand the mysteries of the gospel, of how it has transformed us. At times we think we are still slaves. At times we think we are still of this world. At times we think that we cannot live the life you want us to. But it is because we are blinded to the realities of what has already been done in Christ. Help us to see what Christ has done. Help us to know that the cross is all we need, that the empty tomb is all we need, that Christ's seat at the right hand of God is all we need. I pray, Father, that you would help us to know these things so that then we might live according to the new life that we have in Him. Oh Lord, may we not grow weary. May we not be unbelieving or doubtful, but may we trust that as your word has said, so it is, that we are now a new creation, that we are raised with Christ, that we are indwelt by the Spirit, that Christ is our life. And then, Lord, may we live as you desire us to. Forgive us when we fail. Forgive us when we still yearn and long for the things of this world. Forgive us when we do not put to death that which is earthly in us. Forgive us when we are tempted, as it were, like Lot's wife, to look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Would you grant to us a renewed desire to seek Christ? May we know his glory. May we know his power. May we know his dominion. And may we worship him. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live out this new life in Christ, who we are. May we live it out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And though it seems impossible to live out this new life in Christ, let us consider the words of Paul. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.